Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Welcome, welcome, Newsbusters listeners. Yes, it is not Tim Graham. So by now, you all know what that means. Curtis Al, that's me. And Nick Fondacaro, that's him, are back. Mm-hmm. We'll be guiding you through the week in the world of liberal media bias. Nick was actually off last week, so this is going to be a little interesting. But we'll get into that in a little bit. Nick, you feeling rested and recharged?
Yes, it was a much-needed vacation, nice summer vacation, and I detached pretty much completely from news and politics, you know, keep it healthy and help my mental state by not being plugged in all the time. So I'm going to need you to give me a roundup of what's been happening.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit. So, we definitely have some catching up to do. We were prepping for the show, and I was going over topics with him, and he's like, wait, what? So that's always a good sign. But first, I want to start with this. So contrary to what the liberal media tried to say in 2020 and earlier this year, the Biden administration is not the most transparent regime in American history. Just as a smaller note before we get to everyone's favorite crackhead, we have Jeff Ricchetti, the brother of White House counselor Steve Ricchetti. So Kellyanne Conway was that in the Trump White House. His brother Jeff's lobbying firm has taken in four times the amount of money at this point in 2021 than this time last year, $1.7 million. For a cool $90,000 from Amazon and other clients like GM, this means he gets meetings with Congress, folks that work in the executive office building and the West Wing. Ken Vogel of the New York Times, one of the few reporters in this Biden era that's been going after the White House with the same zeal that he did in the last one, which is kind of our point and what a lot of us just ask for out of reporters, that no matter who's in the White House, you challenge them equally and you make their lives difficult. But anyway, he reported on that $90,000 deal from Amazon. Steve says he recuses himself from all these matters, but we know the deal. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But yes, we want to talk about everyone's favorite crack addict, Hunter Biden. So a few weeks ago, the White House announced a truly poppycock arrangement in which the buyers of Hunter Biden's art would be anonymous. So not like there's, I don't know, social media platforms where one could post or even show off to people their purchases. You know, maybe a fundraiser featuring the president. Back on July 9th, CBS's Weijia Zhang pressed Saki on this. There's been some media coverage, but we're not going to stand up here and applaud these people. But things got worse last week, and why I wanted to talk about today was when it found out that Hunter Biden will be attending an art exhibition. You know, white liberals and wine moms get some wine and stand around and look at art late at night. Some of the works that Hunter Biden will be selling will be on display. Jen Psaki, who clearly doesn't believe this crap based on her facial expressions whenever she's asked questions about this, has insisted that Hunter won't be talking about the purchasing of said art at said shows. Well, as I said on Friday here with Tim, saying you won't talk art at an art gallery is like saying you won't talk beer at a beer garden, chicken at Chick-fil-A, or things that are NSFW. This time, reporters were all over it on Thursday and Friday's briefings. ABC's Rachel Scott, CBS's Nancy Cordes, CBS News radio correspondent and White House Correspondents Association President Stephen Portnoy, and The Wall Street Journal's Kathryn Lucy were, surprisingly, and in a welcome change, incredulous, repeatedly blowing holes in Psaki's flimsy argument. But in the case of Cordes and Scott, however, ABC, CBS, and then their rival NBC saw no reason to talk about any of this on their morning and evening shows. Instead, ABC's two overnight shows, World News Now and America This Morning, combined for 45 seconds over two news briefs on this topic. Let's take a listen to that.
And there is controversy involving Hunter Biden and his paintings that could sell for as much as $500,000. The president's son is expected to meet with the potential buyers at two upcoming art shows in New York and Los Angeles. And the move is raising ethics concerns that a purchaser may try to gain influence with the president. The White House had insisted the prospective buyers would remain anonymous to Hunter Biden. Now they say there will be no conversations about the selling of his art.
New controversy surrounding Hunter Biden and his paintings, which could sell for up to $500,000. The president's son is expected to meet with potential buyers at two upcoming art shows. That's after the White House insisted that prospective buyers would remain anonymous because of ethics concerns. At issue is whether people buying the art may try to gain influence with the president.
So that was it. As a reminder, these are the kind of shows that insomniacs watch, people working the third shift, or if you can't sleep because you have to get up and pee a few too many times. We're going to hit two more topics here before we go to a break. We got Carl Bernstein, oh my. You want to talk about someone who lives off of his one-hit wonder? That's your guy. There are a lot of rhetorically nutty and unhinged individuals in the liberal media, but whether it's saying Trump should be charged with homicidal negligence for getting COVID, repeatedly insisting that this Trump scandal or that Trump scandal would bring him down and send him to jail. Claim that Trump would cause a war, salivating over Trump getting the virus. Talking about Trump getting COVID is the greatest national security crisis in American history. Or simply emptying his thesaurus of hyperbolic rhetoric. Bernstein is every white liberal wine mom's resistance hero. And as always, each and every CNN host is perpetually enamored with Bernstein, despite the fact that his shtick never changes. It's always the same. One of these people is Brian Stelter, who had him on yesterday's show. Yes, the same guy who worships fake news anchor Dan Rather, having a similar reverence towards the guy who finds a new incendiary line to get himself on our notable quotables list? No way. Well, anywho, here's what Bernstein was up to.
But when you're talking about Trump, we're obviously talking about a kind of delusional madness, such as General Milley was talking about, that is on a scale and a scope that we have never experienced in an American president in our history. I think we need to calmly step back and maybe look at Trump in a different context. He is America's, our own American war criminal. Of a kind we've never experienced before.
You just said war criminal. What do you mean, war criminal?
I did. Well, in international law, there have been, quote, crimes against humanity. I think what we're talking about, Trump's crimes as an American war criminal in his own country that he has perpetrated upon our people, including the tens of thousands of people who died because of his homicidal negligence in the pandemic, putting his own electoral interests above the health of our people as they were slaughtered in this pandemic. Looking at his actions in terms of fomenting a coup to hold on to office, in which the head of the American military, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has now compared Trump, not the press, not reporters comparing Trump to Hitler, but rather the head of the American military comparing him and his movement to brown shirts, to the Reichstag fire. This is a huge wake-up call to this country when General Milley, the head of the American military, has said this. And it fits as a piece with something so extraordinary in our history. It's not political. Trump is not just political. He transcends the political, and we need to start looking at his crimes in that context.
I got nothing, guys. CNN, we're bad for your mental health and poisonous to the political bloodstream. Speaking of being poisonous to the political bloodstream, I've got one more hit before we go to break here. Our folks over at Midas Touch and all the other Occupy resistance kooks on Twitter, we're touting a video over the weekend of a guy in Montana going up to Tucker Carlson and telling him he's, quote, the worst human being known to mankind. This is one of those things where liberals think they hit a home run when really they fell on their faces and broke their nose running out of the batter's box. So Tucker's in this fly fishing shop. He's looking at flies and reels in the aisles, and this guy goes up to him and tries to get into his face. And Tucker says, "I'm not going to debate you. Thanks for telling me." And Tucker's here with his family and his kids, who he doesn't talk about for obvious reasons. It's his personal life. The best part was at the end, before Tucker walks away to start looking at reels again and flies, he says, "Settle down, son. Let's take a look at that short little clip."
I don't care, man.
Okay, just kidding.
You are the worst human being known to man. I want you to this thing, to the United States, to everything else in this world. I don't care that you're not here. What you've done to people's families, what you have done to everybody else in this world. Son, don't call son.
All kidding aside, Joy Reid reacted to this by tweeting, quote, "This gentleman from Montana should never have to pay for another beer as long as he lives. Cheers to this man." Joy Reid, perhaps the most poisonous individual in all of cable news. Yes, Fredo may have his problems lying, condoning sexual assault, alleged. Don Lemon, Don Lemon, Joe and Mika. Joy Reid is definitely the most incendiary person in cable news. And I've talked about her last time he hosted. I tweeted this morning that Joy Reid thrives off of division, hatred, and people being at each other's throats. So for somebody like Joy Reid, seeing clips like this really give her a sugar high. And not only when these things happen, but I'll go as far as saying that seeing families and friends and neighbors turning on each other gives people like Joy Reid a hit of dopamine. Yeah, kind of the same feeling when you drink or something good happens to you or you get a promotion or even you're engaging in other activities. You know, this makes her happy. And that's really a sad commentary about the state of the American left in this country. But no, we got to talk about the January 6th committee and blah, 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 and how Chastin and Pete Buttigieg can't afford an apartment in D.C. So that's what they're worried about this week. We are here to play in this segment a game of what did Nick miss? But first, Nick, you have some thoughts on the topics that I hit on in the monologue.
Oh, yeah. The Carl Bernstein thing. He is the Rebecca Black of journalism. He had his one hit, which is this Friday.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
With the Watergate thing, and then he tries to go back to that well with Saturday and Sunday.
This Saturday we gonna party all night.
And just makes a fool out of himself.
He told us this in the break. Ms. Producer out in the holding area, and I kind of rolled our eyes at this. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's true. It's true. Once you think about it.
Yeah. And on the topic of Hunter and his art, I'm very actually disappointed. Our listeners might be surprised, but I am disappointed in NBC because before I went on vacation, one of the last blogs that I had done was, about NBC doing a special investigative report about Hunter Biden and the secret of art sales, where they talked about how, hey, there's like these massive ethical concerns, and like you had this the same ethics watchdog who had concerns about the Trump Hotel and the Trump Organization was being very vocal and coming out against this art sale, and NBC had like this whole long report about it, and then as you wrote during my absence, they just ignored all the new shenanigans.
Yeah, we saw this happen a couple of times during the Obama era where Jonathan Carl would have a really good briefing, or Ed Henry, when he was with CNN, would go at it with Josh Earnest in particular. It'd be really good. It would be about something very substantive. And then when it came to their newscast, would be completely ignored. Like they, for example, would do a report on the White House about something else, but then they wouldn't touch on it. And I'm like, you just had like a 3-minute back and forth where you were cross-talking the entire time with the press secretary, and now you're just like, blah, 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 I'm going to read from this, you know, press release about something. Going to read White House talking points. It just shows the utter shamelessness of these people, that if you're willing to, you know, expound this much effort and your time at a press briefing where you get to ask the spokesperson for the president anything you want, and then it doesn't end up on the newscast or at least mentioned in a sentence at the end of your segment, I don't know. You're going to be like, what's the point? Although, you know, kind of like George Stephanopoulos gets paid like, I don't know, $10, $15 million to do absolutely nothing on GMA.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people would take that deal.
Yep, and then he takes like, he only like hosts this week for like half the time, maybe.
Even though it is this week with George Stephanopoulos. Not with Martha Raddatz and Jonathan Carl, the ones who actually like do the heavy lifting. But that's another inside baseball topic.
Oh, exactly. And some of the other stuff that I saw, I was keeping some tabs on things when I was away, especially like over this last weekend where you had like Oliver Darcy like sort of promoting the CEO of the NCAA saying that they wish Fox would be banned.
Yeah, I mean, this is yet another example of the news media showing complete aversion to the First Amendment applying to anyone other than themselves here. It's pretty ridiculous. Darcy's newsletter on Friday night, filling in for Stelter, was entitled How Fox Race Baits. He went through this whole thing talking about bald-faced race baiting, Fox catering to white America and everything's terrible, and CRT's fantastic. He ended with this. It presents a terrifying world to viewers and then tells them repeatedly that this is the only entity in society standing up to the nefarious forces that seek to destroy the way of life. It's because, other than Fox and a few other outlets, it is true. But then the flip side of it is, what does CNN do most of the time with their audience? You see that, Nick, with Fredo.
Oh, yeah.
Fredo's show every night is a lot of fear-mongering, where his goal is to scare his audience.
Oh, yeah.
And often it's without fact at all.
Oh, yeah, when he claims the Republicans are on a, quote, a holy crusade against voting rights and black people. And then you have him and Don Lemon talking about, like, oh, like we're like, listen to us. This is how people should discuss race. Like, we're the ones that are the models of how this discussion should go.
Two bros out in the Hamptons.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Someone... Maybe Oliver Darcy's remote is broken and he can't change the channel, and that's why he's always talking about Fox. Because if he wants to focus on the people that are really doing the race baiting, it should be he should take a look at MSNBC, Joy Reid, as you've covered, people who actually stoked this vitriol.
Yeah, and his own network. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the craziest thing. If you want to know what Fox News is up to without actually watching Fox News, turn on CNN. They'll do it for you. Because they're obsessed. They won't talk about what's going on in their own networks. Brian Stelter would be like, Chris Hayes gave this amazing monologue the other day. But that's kind of his extent of his coverage of his competitor. And actually, they're not really competitors. They're allies in this war for the heart and soul of Americans. So it's pretty pathetic.
Exactly, because you would think if you're trying to move up the ratings, you would aim for the person like right above you to try to take this spot, which would be MSNBC at number two. But no, they're just mostly just busy trying to tear down number one while falling further behind.
Yeah. And I don't know if you saw the story earlier, Nick. I just have to mention it before it escapes my mind. You see that whole thing that they're trying to bring back Brett Kavanaugh as a thing?
Oh, yes. I saw some of that. Yes.
It's so funny. The killer of it was a lot of the FBI's finding and underlying quote-unquote evidence in work was available in a briefing to all 100 senators. So Sheldon, White House, white people only club guy of Rhode Island, could have gotten this at the time. But they need something else to talk about because, you know, unfortunately, Nick, you missed about the Texas Democrats fiasco.
Yes, that I did pick up some stuff on with them coming back or being a COVID super spreader and all of that, which is very ironic, which one of the things that the media has sort of leaning away from is that this means two things. One, that they were lying about being fully vaccinated, or B, that they're lying about having COVID, and they're not entertaining like either or.
No, this was one of those stories that, yes, even if you're, unless you like delete social media and news apps from your phone, you literally can't look away from, because it is just that spectacular in terms of the irony here. And we joke about it because everybody's, by all accounts, okay, but
yeah, they're gonna, they seem like they're gonna be
it's
fine.
Just the irony here was just, chef's kiss, just too good. Just too good.
Oh, and that's actually one of the other things, too, is when we were talking about, like, sort of the hypocrisy of what they'll cover between administrations, you had them go crazy when they had the RNC event at the White House, where everybody was outside, nice gust of wind, and they were worried, like, it's going to be a super spreader event, even though they're outside, but you had Democrats all packing together on a bus, a jet, and then in private meeting rooms, spreading it around, and then they just sort of downplay it.
We're just gonna, you don't need to hear about that, you know, you don't need to hear about that, just like, you know, Kyle Drennan has a story up, if he doesn't have it up yet, he will shortly, by the time you all listen to this, looking at the fact that only a couple seconds went this morning to ABC's poll, 90 seconds over the last couple days to a poll showing U.S. surge in pessimism under Joe Biden. This is always the thing that we always look at, Nick. I mean, you looked at this when you covered the Sunday shows. That's when a lot of their polls come out. They'll bury the bad information. These polls, NBC and Wall Street Journal, ABC and the Washington Post, CBS and the New York Times, they'll do a poll about once a month, presidential approval plus whatever else is in the news. And they don't actually include the things that are bad for them. It's just selective bias. That's a real easy layup for you on Sundays, and is, since you were away yesterday, it definitely is for Kyle as well.
Yeah, where they're promoting, it's like, oh, his approval hasn't moved in 6 months. And it's like, check again.
Yeah, meanwhile, what they, you know, and the other thing that they're not going to talk about, because I just cannot stop thinking about this. Jorge Bonilla pointed out that Biden said the what say what to reporters, but his people tried to claim that he tried to, they thought Biden said, my butt is wiped. My butt's been wiped.
My butt's been wiped.
I didn't see that.
Of course, if Donald Trump did this and there was even some debate about what he said, you know that CNN would be running with this story.
This is his covfefe.
Covfefe. Yeah, it was his covfefe moment, but we're just going to not pretend. We're going to pretend this didn't happen. Not going to pretend at all. Or we will pretend that this didn't happen. We're just going to wish cast this away, that we have to rely on people who do noted lip reading and translating, like Jorge Bonilla, have to translate from Biden's language, whatever the world that is, to the what say what, talking about reconciliation packages for infrastructure here. So
what?
You got anything else, Nick, that that you want to talk about that you realized that you missed while you were away?
I know there's still going to be a lot that I need to get brushed up on, but
this Michael Wolff getting owned, we should talk about that. Do you have any thoughts about the hilariousness of that?
I did watch that, and the back-to-back nature of just stupid stuff on Brian Stelter did make me sort of regret that when I was taking those Sundays off, but that was absolutely hysterical. Somebody saying to his face, talking about how sanctimonious he is like, you could just see his uncomfortableness on his face as he's just like, how am I going to change this? And he's just like, just sitting there, just like, oh, he knows that people are going to take this and just take it all over social media. And it was like the most uncomfortable I think I've ever seen him. But it's like, I think it's one of the few times truth is actually spoken to him relatively face to face, where he can say it in more of a public form that he can't really ignore.
Yeah.
As like on Twitter.
I just want to, yeah, two quick last things on that. Well, one is when Stelter asked him, well, then why did you come on? And Wolf was like, well, to sell books, of course. And it was like, huh? Well, yeah, that's kind of how this works. He knows that the resistance types are going to eat his book up like crazy. And then secondly, Nick, you wrote about this a few years ago. This was not the first time that Wolf spoke the truth on reliable sources.
Yes.
You called him a ridiculous figure, I believe is what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, yeah. When he just straight up called him a ridiculous figure to his face. It's like, Brian, this is a guy who's called you out to your face before. Why do you think he's not going to do it again?
That you weren't prepared for this. Come on. Yeah,
like, especially when people are willing. As kooky as Michael Wolf can be, it allows him to say stuff to the actual sanctimonious people, other people in the media who probably talk behind Stelter's back, but will sort of bow to him while on camera.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
It's so good.
Oh yeah, and with the Bernstein stuff too, just to circle back real fast. Like Brian did his faux I'm pushing back of right. what do you mean by that? You say war criminal, what do you mean by that? Like that's him pretending to push back, because this isn't the last, like this happened about maybe a year ago or a couple years ago, where Brian had on these crazy psychiatrists, and one of them, I think it was a couple years ago, and one of them was saying that Trump was going to kill or had killed more people than Hitler, Stalin, and Mao combined, and just sat there and didn't say anything. He claims he never heard it, that there was like some audio problem, but you would think at some point his producer would have went and been in his ear and been like, this guy just said some stuff, like you might want to like push back a little, and he didn't.
Right. Stelter is not used to being pushed back upon. You know, he'd have Elena Plott, his former conservative reporter, come on and push back occasionally. Amanda Carpenter, when she first joined CNN before she went full Bulwark, would occasionally do that. Our boss Tim Graham had gone on there before. But as of late, it's just one instance of validating his opinion after the next. And yet, they say that Fox News is state-run media. Well, interesting.
Curtis, I think we have some special news that we would like to share with our listeners.
Oh yes. So, tune in on Wednesday when we will be having our interns on the podcast. We are very excited for this. Nick and I have been planning all summer to do this. We weren't able to work it in last time when we co-hosted for 2 weeks, but we're going to do it now. So stay tuned for Charlotte Hazard, Bridget O'Neill, and now co-worker Kevin Tober. We'll find out more about that coming up on Wednesday. So thanks for listening. We hope you come back on Wednesday. Take care.